I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a great show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information, as usual. And before we get to the focus of tonight's show, which will be about new messages for the ground crew, I'd just like to take a few minutes to express my gratitude and appreciation to our listening audience, first, for just being you, and second, for tuning into the frequency of ET Yoga, and third, for sharing. And in terms of sharing, I mean, I really appreciate all the emails that I've received during the week concerning topics that people would like to hear about on ET Yoga. So if you'd like to make a contribution to program content or make comments about some of the concepts that have been brought up on ET Yoga or share your experiences, I'd love to hear about it, and you can contact me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paper as in paper, fungo, F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. And in point of fact, what really makes my week is to hear about people that have taken a concept or an idea that they've heard on ET Yoga and email me and let me know how it's going, how it worked, something really positive that's come about because of the show. And, you know, a lot of information is presented on ET Yoga, and if you're a new listener, and I'd like to pay special tribute to our newest audience, which is coming from the UK, for those that are new to ET Yoga. ET Yoga was one of two programs chosen from BBS Radio by Glastonbury Radio to be picked up in the UK. And a special hello to an increasing audience that's tuning into the program there. And I believe it views in the UK on Monday evenings at 10 p.m. at UK time. And also, ET Yoga has also been chosen to be one of 10 services that have been, that's been chosen to be a video produced by Empower TV. So in the next couple of weeks or so, I believe they're going to be putting that show together, and very appreciative of the opportunity to have more and more people learn about this program. And with respect to messages and information on ET Yoga, you know, there's we always suggest that you keep a paper and pencil handy because there'll be lots of information. And last week I had a number of emails concerning a powder that I mentioned, and a lot of people had a problem understanding my accent, I guess, on the name of that powder, and it was Dulse powder, D-U-L-S-E. So if you're one of those people that didn't hear that clearly, and you're a regular listener, and you just didn't have the time to email me about that, if part of that recipe for eliminating metals from the body that I gave last week, the powder was Dulse powder. And the email of the week that made my day and really made my week comes from Drew from Connecticut. And, you know, if I could have a wish for my listeners, he would fulfill it. And I want to share just a couple of paragraphs from that email. I want to thank you for your radio show. Since listening, I have embraced a remembering that seems to pull the hologram together in 3D. I've read Cosmic Voyage by Courtney Brown, have purchased and used Egyptian healing rods, beginning to read Patricia Corey's series, watched Bashar's Crystal Light Show and series on YouTube, so much I've learned, and other synchronistic occurrences. You mentioned David Wilcock. I am reading the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. You mentioned David Hudson. I own the three DVDs. Plus, I have ordered and used white powder gold from Ascension Alchemy. And most recently, you gave a website, www.universe/people.com, which ties to my recent affiliation with the Ashtar Galactic Command, where I found the download Bringers of the Dawn. And he also offers a link for using the social network site Twitter, and he says, start following the username IQXS for the latest UFO news based in Dayton, Ohio. Well, you know, to my way of thinking, somebody that listens to our show and picks up on an idea, because I throw the information out there, you can use what you can use. And if you can't use it, or you need to know about it or learn about it, eventually you'll learn from some other source. But for a listener to write in and have done all those things is just exhilarating. I mean, I just love to hear things like that. So if you're out there and, you know, you're like Derek from Connecticut, Drew from Connecticut, then I'd really like to hear from you. So remember, paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And another one of the questions from our callers was how has the channeled extraterrestrial material enhanced my yogic concepts and training? Well, first off, when I'm thinking about the yoga, I want to mention, especially for those people from Self-Realization Fellowship in California or devotees of Yogananda, that if you haven't heard about the Babaji Yantras, they come in a medallion form, and they cost about $50. When I heard about it, I couldn't wait to get a hold of one. Dr. Raj Gopal from India was on the show about a year or so ago, and once I heard about these, just had to have one. So if you're interested, you're one of those Yogananda people, then I would suggest internet site. You just Google search Babaji Yantras, and you'll find what you're looking for. And also, okay, with respect to enhancing the yogic concept or yogic training. For new listeners, my yogic training basically comes from way back with Baba Ram Das, Sri Ramana Maharshi, Paramahansa Yogananda, and Sri Swami Sachidananda. And, one of the things I've learned from those great teachers was, the whole world is your teacher. And even though you're involved with a specific teacher, the whole world is you, ultimately. And everywhere you go, that's all you run into. So some of the amazing concepts, and we've done some shows on ET Yoga just about the concepts learned from these great teachers, and we'll do that again. However, a lot of the information certainly leads to those people who are on the path of enlightenment, and the information, because there's no prerequisites, and obviously a lot of people have become enlightened following some of the ancient traditional yogic paths, certainly they're valid in their own right. However, there's certain specific information that has come about that has totally to me been mind-boggling and mind-blowing with respect to the channeled extraterrestrial information, especially in the general area of the nature of reality. And, of course, the first one of those is that your thoughts, beliefs, and definitions create the outer 3D experience. And it's not just analogous. It's perfect. It's a perfect mirror. What you experience in 3D is created by you from your inner thoughts, beliefs, definitions. And when you catch on to that, I think it throws a different light on that whole experience. And as Bashar would say, you can't experience what you're not the vibration of. And some of the physics that's involved with some of these concepts from the channeled extraterrestrial material, to me, it all is currently being proven by current research into quantum physics. And how it connects with the nature of reality also connects perfectly with the teachings of the Essene and Jesus and Mother Mary from 2,000 years ago that was kept in the secret mystery schools. And if you're interested in that information about the nature of reality, go to the College of Christ Consciousness on your Google search. And another thing that, or concept that to me has been enhanced my yogic knowledge was that we're 100% responsible for our outer experience. And that means 100%. And it doesn't mean that you're to blame. It means that you have responsibility, that you're responsible. And this is the key connection to getting out of victimhood, because for as long as there's been history, or that we've read about history, we read about the victim and the victimizer, but there's not this responsibility for the outer creation. And this makes it so easy to always blame and criticize and to justify our circumstances. And those are the key components of victimhood consciousness. And in order to get out of victimhood consciousness, the only way to do that is to realize that you're the one that's creating this outer circumstance. And that actually is what gives you the power to then change that outer circumstance. You know, which brings up another concept that was new to me until I started to really getting into the channeled ET material, and that was the ability to and techniques to assist us with the process of reprogramming old beliefs. And we're not going to go into that one tonight. However, again, at the College of Christ Consciousness, there are some outlined techniques there listed. And some of the best ones that I've ever heard were from Bashar. And with a little bit of searching, probably at www.bashar.org, you may be able to find some interconnected topics there. And another one of those concepts are that all the external circumstances that we experience do not come with built-in meaning. And to me, this is huge. Because they don't. I mean, we can see that, you know, from even from a simple thing like being in a restaurant and ordering a certain types of food, one man's food's another's poison. The same circumstance to one person can be awful, to another it can be joyful. And that also connects, you know, to the concept that the spin you put on outer circumstance creates the experience. And this is the one that probably week in and week out we challenge our listeners to do the practical work and test this out. The formula is positive spin, emotional spin in, positive experience out, negative emotional spin in, negative experience will be the outcome. And once you catch on to this, this is the one that, to me, I always call it stunning and mind-blowing, because it works. And when you catch on that it works, you can then start applying this in all sorts of different ways. And to me, one of the most powerful piece of information that's ever been through the channeled ET material. And another one of the, to me, amazing concepts is some of the techniques, especially that were provided through the Pleiadians with respect to rebundling DNA. And, you know, this ties into the whole concept that we were really intended to have a 12-strand DNA. And at some point in time, our DNA was manipulated. And, you know, thus the pineal gland, or pineal, however you like to pronounce that, used to be apparently 10 times its current size. And this is the key, really, to, you know, the whole body, brain, and consciousness of being used to its maximum potential. I mean, we have phenomenal DNA, and we were intended to have a level of consciousness that was, I guess, close to godlike, if you want to call that, a cosmic awareness. You know, our cells have this dimensional capacity, but so do we when we're operating to our maximum. And some of these techniques, and we share those techniques as well. The two in particular that are the easiest way that I know to rebundle your DNA are the pillar of light technique from the Pleiadians and the spinning techniques. And for those who are interested in those, you can go to my website, which is at maxwellgreensite.com. And at maxwellgreensite.com, under the audio, and there's some archived ET yoga tapes there that are available for $19.95, and the one called XYZ, Extraterrestrial Meditation, or Extraterrestrial Meditation, contains not only a Merkaba techniques, the Vichara from Sri Ramana Maharshi, it also contains the Pillar of Light and Pleiadian spinning techniques. So if you're interested in those, that's where they can be found. And by the way, if you're a regular listener of ET Yoga, that's how to really support ET Yoga, is by, you know, purchasing things from my website, because that's what pays for ET Yoga. And there's also some free downloads at the MaxwellGreensite.com with respect to self-empowerment, as well as for those in abusive relationships. And they make use of a lot of the most current ideas that have been presented on the ET Yoga show. And another one of those mind-boggling, I think, concepts enhancing yoga has been the concept of 12 chakras. Now, all through my traditional training, you know, there's been a focus of meditation as well as yantras on the seven chakras in the body. And the first time I came across the concept of the 12 chakras, it made total sense, because it's pretty clear that as we evolve and we're going to be more multidimensional, that clearly we need to be then tuning into those chakras that exist outside the body. And I'm not going to go into detail on those tonight. We have done a show on those with respect to each of them, how they connect, what the purpose is. And again, that'll be information that at some point in the future we'll probably review as well. So, you know, in a nutshell, some of these amazing concepts that have been passed on from extraterrestrial channel information totally connects with yoga. And actually, the whole idea of ET and yoga, it all came about because, you know, people ask, well, how can you do yoga? How do the ETs do yoga? Or how do you do that on radio? Well, it's because of your definition of yoga. I mean, most people that are, I guess, beginners or novice in the subject of yoga think that yoga is just the hatha yoga or the asanas, but that's not so. That's one small component of yoga. And, for example, in integral yoga taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda, it is one of six branches of yoga. And the word yoga actually means union. It means union with you and your higher self. And because I guess, you know, there are a variety of ETs out there, but the ones that that I want to connect with are the ones that come from higher consciousness. And those people, in particular, like Bashar, who's a fifth dimensional being moving to sixth dimension, they are, he is his higher self. He's aware, fully conscious of, he is, in fact, we all are. You are your higher self. The problem is that a lot of people don't even know they have a higher self, or, are working on attaining that oneness. Well, the beings who are already there have really attained the goal of yoga. And thus, extraterrestrials are the perfect people because they've mastered yoga, at least some of them have. So that's the connection there. So moving on to our focus of tonight's show, which is going to be new messages for the ground crew. Well, I guess that idea came to me because of reading something that I'm going to share with you, just a paragraph from some information in a book form. And it says, "It is with regret that we inform you that the window of opportunity to salvage your planet and its human inhabitants is now closing. We are grateful for those beings that have heard the warnings and have turned their attention toward the creation of a more desirable outcome for this scenario. Regretfully, that number is too few to make a measurable difference. The days ahead will be difficult and discouraging for those who now know what might have been. And it is our suggested advice that those who are committed to their service as ground crew redouble their efforts to draw to themselves a circle of believers to support each other through the days ahead." Well, I'm just going to use that as a starting point to say that I totally disagree with that information. And I guess I'm going to enumerate a number of reasons why I personally think that, and then share with you some other people's perspectives on that type of information. First of all, the rate at which we're changing and accelerating, and the rate at which our ability to manifest our outer thoughts and creations, that time gap has been diminishing. It's like if we were playing a game and the value of the pieces was, say 10 years ago, and then the value of the pieces became 1,000, and then the value of the pieces became 10,000 and 100,000, and sometime between now and the next couple years, before 2012, the value of the pieces become 100,000 or 1,000,000. How can somebody at the level that we're playing at any given point predict an outcome when the whole value of the pieces is going to change to the point where one roll of the dice or one turn of events can turn everything around and change the whole game? And if somebody can answer that one for me, I'd really like to hear it. And it's almost to me analogous to, because I'm a chess player, I'm playing somebody a game of chess and I can see a 5-move checkmate. And somebody who's watching the game next to me says, "Hey, I think you ought to resign now because you got a lost position." And I'm also a baseball player, by the way. And, or at least used to be. And, Yogi Berra of the New York Yankees always had a saying, "It ain't over till it's over." And, that's my, take on all of it. And as Bashar would say, it's never over until you quit. When you totally give up, when you give up, then it's over. Until then, anything and anything can and probably will happen. In addition to that, what has now been discovered by the Russian scientists is this whole concept of torsion fields. And I think one of the first people that I came into contact with that concept was David Wilcock, and that's at his site, Divine Cosmos. And torsion fields are now, they're being studied. We know the primary torsion field, by the way, comes from the center of the galaxy. This has now become proven science. And interesting to note that according to a lot of our spiritual teachers are indicating that as we approach 2012, more and more energy will be coming from the center of the galaxy in the form of unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion. And by the way, last week, if you listened to the show, there was an experiment that was done in Russia with some of the torsion fields that operate inside pyramids. And they actually had salt and pepper in these torsion fields. And what they found was they fed this material over a period of months to about 5,000 prisoners in Russia, and their whole behavior changed. All their criminal behavior changed, and they became amazing, compassionate people. And what this is showing is that can you only imagine having that kind of energy blasted to the Earth from the center of the galaxy? How that might change people? Incredible. Now, it's similar to the whole concept that we as a collective global consciousness create our outer experience the same way that we as individuals create our outer experience. Not to mention the fact that we all don't experience the same outer world, which is another interesting aspect or to ponder. Another reason why I have a positive belief is learning the whole concept with this related to the ET concept that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meaning, that our primary function of the rational mind is to throw a positive spin on outer circumstance. And when you learn to throw a positive spin on outer circumstance, well, you throw a positive spin on the outer circumstance in the world, you're going to have a positive experience. And so it can't turn out anything other than positive. Also, the concept that positive energy is integrative, where a negative energy is segregative. So like 100,000 positive people wipe out the influence of a million negative people. Reminds me of years ago when I planted, it was a field. And it's like an alfalfa, but it's not an alfalfa. And I planted this in a field of weeds. And within 2 or 3 years, the whole field that was full of weeds was became this type of a hay. And one of these days, I'll remember the name of it. But the concept is the same. When you place a certain vibration, that's a high vibration, in with negative vibration, the more people that become with the high vibration, they'll wipe out the negative one. Somewhat similar to the Maharishi effect that we talked about on last week's show. And also, I like the concept of Bashar's, when he talks about the rubber band theory, that we have really embedded ourselves so deeply into a 3D consciousness and into really that, what they call us, as the masters of limitation. But somewhat like when you pull a rubber band back, the farther you pull it back, when you let go, the farther forward it flies. And when it starts flying forward, it's going to do so very rapidly. So those are some of my thoughts on some of the concept that relate to any sort of negative viewing of the future reality. Not to mention that we know from some of the Dan Burrish material and his handling of some recovered extraterrestrial technologies that actually look at future probabilities, that expectation is huge. And how in many ways I think some of these, you know, dark prognosis are, you know, a really a last desperate attempt to get a lot of the people that are really spiritual and powerful to give up and not buying it. A question that was asked of Bashar: it appears that there is a race against time whether this critical mass of positive energy will overcome the manifestation of our own Armageddon. And here's Bashar's take on that. I'll put it to you this way. There are an infinite number of probable Earths. Every single possible scenario will play out. and more precisely is playing out now, since all time is actually simultaneous. However, whatever each individual's vibratory frequency is, that is the determining factor for what probable future reality Earth they will experience. In our civilization, in that our civilization is communicating to this probable reality Earth, in other words, in that we are capable of having this conversation with you, then that is an indication that you are part and parcel of the probable reality Earth that will allow the positive energy, shall we say, to overbalance the negative. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And all the probable reality Earths that do decide to let the negative dominate in their future, we are not having conversations with in the same way at all. And Bashar, is the Y2K issue going to be a severe problem for our world? So this was asked quite a while ago. And he said, well, in some cases it'll be severe, in other areas it will not be felt at all. It will depend upon the infrastructure that has been laid down in certain areas on your planet, since there is much diversity in your world and many different approaches to different things. Different areas will likewise experience the result and consequences in different ways. The basic thing to understand is that when individuals begin to lay down other systems, alternate systems, new ideas, and put them into place, then it will not really matter if the old systems crumble or collapse, for new ones will be there, ready and willing to take their place and take up what you call the slack. Now, at the same time, sometimes what you would call a break from the old paradigm may be a welcome thing and give individuals a chance to rethink how they go about setting up certain systems to allow them in the future to become far more flexible, less rigid, and this is a metaphor for how you really need to live your lives as well. So I would simply overall suggest that you don't really worry about it, for I will tell you this with absolute certainty, the more you worry about it being a problem, the more you magnetically will draw yourself into a circumstance where you will experience it as a problem. Instead, I would suggest that you allow yourself to treat it as an amazing opportunity to allow systems to shift and change very rapidly, and that you position yourself by your energy and your own certainty, so that you will know that you will be where you need to be, when you need to be there, and so that you will experience, no matter what anybody else's experience, you will personally experience only a beneficial result from such a consequence instead of a negative one. And the questioner continues, what about the many predictions of global natural disasters that have come from other channeled beings and other sources? And Bashar answers, many of you have spoken of the idea of the transformation seeming to have to take place through the idea of catastrophes, earthquakes, flood, famine, axis shifts, and more of the like. Recognize that this energy potential does exist, but only as a potential. It may have a great deal of momentum behind it. It may have a great degree of backing behind it from your civilization, simply because that is the way your civilization has always assumed that changes must occur, with strife and struggle. But recognize not that you are being lied to, for you are not, but recognize that you are being given an opportunity to decide whether what they say is true for you in terms of what you believe you need to experience in the transformation taking place on your planet right now. When you hear something that does not strike a vibratory chord within you, recognize that you are being given an opportunity to understand and reflect upon what you know to be true for you. Then you can utilize the situation as an equal and not continue to feel that what you are being given as information is any more powerful than the information you have within yourselves with regard to reality and a world which is, after all, yours. And the last question on that segment will be, will there be noticeable physical effects in this transformation on the planet? And Bashar says, are there not already? Do you not see around your planet many different changes in the weather, many different geological changes? Now, all of the ones that have been predicted don't have to come to pass. You have already transformed many of them into other forms of energy expression, such as sociological change or political change or financial change. They do not have to be experienced in any particular way. There will be some acceleration in what you call the geological or weather pattern or electromagnetic field changes, but again, the basic bottom line really is, what is your energy all about? It is your frequency that will determine where you are, when you are there, and how you will experience the transformation, for like attracts like. And the energy of fear will only attract an individual into the centers that experience the transformation in a cataclysmic way, whereas the energy of joy and unconditional love of self will attract the individual to experience the transformation even if they are standing in the middle and all around them is cataclysm. They will never experience it in anything but a smooth and creative manner. That's the key. So do not so much be concerned about exactly what's going to happen. Be focused on the idea of what you decide you are all about, because only your wavelength will determine what you are attracted to experience in the transition. What portion or what methodology or what style of the transition you are capable of experiencing, because it can be experienced in many different ways because it's holographic. There are any number of ways to experience it that coexist simultaneously, and what frequency you are on, like your television set, what channel you are on determines the program you get. Even though all the other programs might be there on the airwaves, you only see the one your television set is tuned to. This is physics, and this is how it works. And with respect to the comment I made earlier about accelerated change, looking at the general average cross-section of the combined rates at which you are all progressing individually, and this is from Bashar's book, Blueprint for Change, most of you will actually take only about 10 to 15 years. From our point of view, the energy as it stands now reads thus. Every single day of your time brings with it as many connections to different levels of your consciousness as it took 1 to 3 years to make 15 years ago. This is the rate at which you are accelerating. And I find it interesting as well that the Pleiadians and Barbara Maciniak's book, Self-Empowerment, also talk about the concept I meant about the galactic center. And I'd like to quote from that, the galactic center transmissions deliver stupendous jolts of energy that trigger deep truths and stimulate exciting new levels of creativity within humanity. Energies that are life-enhancing and meant to be felt and absorbed. If the energies encounter a blockage, they will begin to concentrate and create pressure in and around the blocked area, essentially working to unlock and untangle the snarl that is creating the obstruction. Holding on to pain and fear and anxiety-ridden interpretations of life will inevitably create only more resistance. When change is in your favor, and still you refuse to open the door to self-improvement, you create a block on the new program of energy. Intensified galactic transmissions are like an energetic thunderstorm, refreshing and revitalizing if the conditions are accommodating, and potentially destructive to areas that cannot accommodate the abundance of nature's power. Galactic-oriented energy has tremendous force to empower everyone on Earth to embrace you and the mass consciousness of your planet as a cosmic family. To connect with the galactic center is to connect with an energy that is nurturing, truthful, passionate, volatile, caring, and continuously supportive, the ultimate goddess figure of the galaxy. And if you can embrace these energies as your own, you will come closer to knowing who you are. And I think that what we're finding there is certainly a definite consistency with respect to the whole idea that we're certainly being made available an increasing amount of amazing energy. And they also continue that during this second phase of acceleration, which actually started in 1987, and the first phase of the transformation from 1987 to 1996, the level of cosmic energy affecting your planet accelerated in proportion to a tenfold increase from 1 year to the next, gradually building a quiet momentum. And during the second phase, from 1997 to 2006, the energy leaps in proportion to 100-fold each year, magnifying every experience with even greater intensity. As the energy continues to increase and become, because there is so much more to keep track of, people are becoming completely enamored of technological innovations in order to escape the mounting pressure. However, some will claim it is to manage the chaos. All the while, they are immersing themselves in an electronic bubble that manages their frequencies. There is a great confusion during these years about recognizing priorities and what is really important. As time marches on, it will become increasingly obvious to those with very clever minds that thoughts are manifesting themselves into reality very quickly. Eventually, all will face an extraordinary reality check with the state of their own affairs as new priorities for life arise by choice or default. During this time, billions of people will begin to realize that nothing is exactly as it appears to be, and this realization will be an initiation in itself and one of the great tests of these times. As tumultuous events escalate on the world stage, an invisible line will be drawn and polarizations will arise all over the world as people choose sides and take a stand on their beliefs in heated debates over the issues of freedom and the value of life. Denial will be a choice by those who stand in ignorance despite commonly available knowledge. A new level of thinking is being called forth as pioneering minds seek to open the doors to a new frontier of unlimited possibilities. As the issues of war and peace escalate in importance, people will have deep realizations about who to trust and will begin to recognize the value of their intuition in this decision-making process. During these years, a newfound wisdom will be born as an awakening of epic proportions galvanizes the globe. Unique concepts electrify and revive the human spirit and offer a sense of empowerment and relief for many people in their lives. New ideas seem to arrive with a life of their own as the confluence of multiple realities with the third dimension begins dancing and bubbling like the merging of rivers after a quick spring thaw. And yet still in the midst of it all, no one is quite certain as to what is really going on. Beginning in 2007, the third and final phase will be initiated with a profound new leap in intensity. The energy accelerates in proportion to 100,000-fold each year for the five remaining years. The last 5 years of the nanosecond are unpredictable in terms of how you will respond to the hidden layers of truth that will inevitably surface. Your power increases with each passing moment. Will you let it slip by, or will you use it and contribute your personal victory to the annals of time? There are so many probable directions to choose from in this time, and only to the degree you unfold your awareness, coupled with the values you choose to pursue, will the outcome be determined. From a larger perspective, it is as if the whole world must transform itself and pass through the eye of a needle. The entire 25 years are a preparation for a magnificent solar alignment with the galactic center on the winter solstice in 2012. And at this juncture in time, just about anything can occur. I'd like to repeat that. And at this point in the juncture in time, just about anything can occur. The Galactic Center represents truth and is distinguished as the primary source of information for the galaxy. Planetary alignments with the center's location serve to stimulate human beings to embody a unique state of enhanced creativity, as well as altering their perceptions of reality through the transmission of tremendous amounts of energy and information. And I think that certainly those people are interested, that material came from Path of Empowerment, Barbara Marciniak. And one thing I can always count on Bashar for is that he always has a connection someplace, especially to this type of material. And he talks about the future as being fluid. And the idea is simply to be in touch with the fact that the so-called future is always fluid. There are many probable realities. Thus, when someone says or you perceive, well, this is going to happen then and it's going to be very catastrophic, it is only one perception of one bandwidth frequency, one probable reality. Now that you are aware that there is energy behind that probable future, if you don't prefer it, you don't have to stay on that frequency. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to move. If you find you are in any locale wherein the majority of consciousness insists on experiencing the transformation in negative or in catastrophic destructive ways, and you know you don't need to, then whether you even try to or not, you will automatically attract into your life an opportunity which will remove you from that locale without your even trying, without your even planning to. So if you are following what is most exciting for you, and you find yourself not attracting a situation in your life to remove you from the locale you are in, that is, if you do find the locale you are in is the most exciting locale you would like to be in general, then take it as a sign that you will be able to remain in that locale and nothing will interrupt the path you chose to be. And someone said, well, what if I find that place not feeling right? Well, then go where you find it to be more exciting. But recognize that it doesn't necessarily mean you are taking yourself out of the place that will experience destruction. You're simply following the flow of your own path and going to where you are most excited to be, surrounding yourself with the environment that is conducive to the idea you are being. That's it. No part of your planet has to experience the change in catastrophic ways. None of it has to. It depends on your willingness to wake up. I thought also at this point, for some of our listeners interested in the whole concept about Halloween. It says, Bashar, you said something about Halloween being connected to the destruction of Atlantis, because we're sort of replaying those times of Atlantis. And Bashar says, yes, from your ancient time, All Hallows' Eve or Halloween represents the day before the destruction of Atlantis. November 1st is the day of destruction, and November 2nd is the day after. In some of your religious vernacular these days, translate into All Hallows' Eve, All Souls' Day, and All Saints' Day, and are the idea of the destruction of your Atlantean landmass approximately 11 to 12,000 years ago. The issue you're dealing with on your planet at this time is connected strongly to both the planet Maldek destroying itself long ago, and a repetition of the cycle of Atlantis, although on a smaller scale than Maldek. In your current time frame, the United States represents the idea of the replay of Atlantis, for you have much of the same technology and the same position in relation to politics around the world. Also, you have many of the same individuals from Atlantis who have now restructured themselves to the point of deciding whether or not they will destroy the world again. You all chose to be here in this transformational age to see that you do not replay Atlantis and destroy yourselves and your Earth this time around. And one of the questioners said it was stated in the raw materials, Bashar, that no one had ever left this density since Jesus' time. And he says to that, actually, you have all decided to remain and return because the transformation is so attractive and exciting. It is not so much that no one has been able to leave, it is that no one has wanted to. And as you say, you are where it's at. Your planet is going through such a strong transformation that not only do the individuals on it not necessarily want to leave, because they want to be a part of it on some level, physically or non-physically, but you have attracted the attention of thousands of other civilizations and dimensions of consciousness. These wish to watch what's going on. Thus, you have all wished to add to the momentum of the group karma of the transformation. And with respect to economic resources, Bashar, you say we are transforming. How do we transform our economy? Or will we have economic depression? You will to some degree, but the idea is that there does not have to be a depression. You are simply recognizing that your economic structure is shifting, is changing. And yes, in your terms, the old one may need to break down. But that breakdown does not in any way mean that it must be in a depletive manner. It can be replaced. It can be regrown in a different way. It can be transformed. But do you feel there will be a major shifting in the economy? Oh, yes. And do the values in America reflect that in a certain unconscious or conscious way? Well, the values of your entire Earth reflect it because you are now becoming global, and so you need a global economy, in a sense, although it will not be economics as you have known it. Do you have anything to say to us about the ways that we may accelerate ourselves through that shift? Yes, begin by basing your economics on each other, not on a symbol. You yourselves are what back your services. That is all there is to it. Direct interaction between individuals with the removal of the limitations you call borders will facilitate an interactive global economy. It is simply the idea of the reapportionment of the resources you have and the reshifting of your priorities. there is really no lack on your world at all, and there is not actually overpopulation. Rather, there is simply a particular disbursement of individuals and resources in such a way as to make it seem as if there is a lack. Balance of your economy by the sharing of responsibilities in any task, corporation, or whatever, and the reliance upon the resources of all, rather than the hoarding of or the fearing of others in terms of being able to deplete your own resources. Create a republic of ideas, in a sense. And with respect to choosing the positive, a lot of the ideas of someone experiencing a transformation in a negative way is that he's holding on tight to an old belief and will not allow himself to let go and trust his natural flow. It seems to take that degree of violence to make him break his grip. Sometimes an individual even take himself out of physical reality in order to allow himself to start afresh. But he does not really die. Nothing ever really does. It is all eternal and infinite. However, you don't have to struggle. You don't have to suffer. Anytime you are made aware of an idea and it is presented in a potentially negative format, take it not as an absolute prediction chiseled in steel, or a neutronium, or whatever you may think is most difficult to change. The idea is presented as an opportunity. Look, it says, you can vibrate in synchronous accord with the negativity or this negative energy of this idea, this fear, and attract yourself to it and attract it to you. Or you can vibrate in accord with the positive energy. Experience the opportunity, exploration, the excitement, rather than the anxiety and the fear, the limitation and the segregation. Whatever vibration you choose will be the reality you get. Remember, no circumstance has built-in meaning. All situations are fundamentally neutral, blank, empty, zero, zip, as you say. You give them the meaning. Because of what you have been taught to believe these things mean, the meaning you give it is the effect you get. Positive meaning in, positive effect out. Negative meaning in, negative effect out. Simple physics, simple mechanics. You experience the reality you are the vibration of. You cannot experience the reality you are not the vibration of. But Bashar, what about Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, and others who are predicting catastrophe? And Bashar says, there is no such thing as a prediction of the future. There is only a sensing of the energy that is most prominent and probable to manifest at the time the prediction is made. There is no absolute future. It is only a probability. When a prediction is sensed, the individual making that prediction is sensing the energy as it lies at that moment, behind whichever idea has the most momentum and has the most likelihood of manifesting, if, an important if, the energy doesn't change. You always have the opportunity to change that energy. And in very many ways, the reason that predictions exist is to let you know where the energy is. Then if you don't prefer it being there, you change it. So predictions, when they are understood for what they are, rather than the rigidized, unmovable structures many of you have been taught to believe they are, when they are understood for what they are, then you will realize that a prediction, when it is made, and therefore when it is known in your consciousness, renders itself obsolete many times just by being known. Let me stress that your awareness of where it lies changes that energy. Now, if you don't prefer it to be there, you can do something about it because your consciousness is focused upon it. If you hear a prediction and you do not think you have the ability to change the energy, if you generate more fear, then you reinforce the energy that the prediction first picked up on and make it more likely the prediction will come to pass. But if you are willing to realize that a prediction in no way determines that this is the absolute thing which must happen, then you can understand you have a great deal of flexibility with regard to predictions. Also, any time a prediction is made, it is made within the context of the time frame that it occurs in. Many ancient predictions, many ancient sensings of the way the energy of the entire culture in which you exist was to be experienced followed from a certain belief that existed in your culture at that time. That belief, generally summed up, is as follows. The great transformations that were sensed that were going to occur could not be understood at being able to occur without everything that already existed coming apart first. So when those predictions were made, they were made with the understanding and the belief that in order to experience the transformation, things were to be absolutely destroyed to make way for that transformation. Now things do have to change. Things do have to, in a sense, break down for another reality to take place. But that breaking down in no way must be destructive. It can be creative. A breaking down can simply be the willingness to allow something to change rather than holding on to the way you believe it must stay. Then the situation, then the culture, the structure will break down. It will change. It will transform into the type of structure that is capable of representing the transformation in a less catastrophic way. And I think that Bashar also offers a really nice suggestion with respect to people who make totally negative predictions. And it goes like this, a letter. Dear entity, I recognize that what you are sharing comes from your love for us and your desire to serve us and allow us to expand in our awareness of the transformation, which is a reflection of all we have ever been and can become. At the same time, I would now wish to share with you, dearest entity, that your sharing affords me the opportunity to recognize that the transformation in terms of catastrophe you have delineated is not the reality I, as a co-creator of this world, prefer. I choose to give energy to the idea that if I am willing to face all portions of myself and accept and allow all situations in my life to be of positive service, to be in my life for positive reasons, that I can allow my experience of the transformation to be one that is positive and not in need of the expression of catastrophe in order for me to understand myself and grow. I recognize that expressions of catastrophe may be the only way some individuals can believe a transformation will have a lasting effect. However, do allow me at this time, dearest entity, to ask for your further love and your further assistance in suggesting to us ideas, ideas which could allow us to assist our world so that as many of us as possible can now let ourselves also realize there is no longer any need to believe that transformations and changes of lasting positive effect must be created through trials by fire. I am willing to share that I believe ecstasy is our birthright. Will you share with us your perspective on how we may accelerate within ourselves to sufficient degrees to allow there to be upon this world that we hold dear the smoothest, easiest, and most loving version of the transformation that can occur? Thank you. And at this point in time, I'd like to offer a suggestion for those who want to follow up on some of the information presented on ET Yoga, that the e-books are available at maxwellgreensite.com. The name of the site's called Healing the Known and the Unknown. And as usual at this time, I would like to mention as well that you can contact me via email at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And my sincere best for your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.